It is a privilege to be with you here tonight. Oftentimes, I worry when I come to testify for fear of exalting the devil. I just recently was thinking about that as I was regarding tonight, and my mind was brought to Paul, and he talked about how he persecuted the church and all the bad things that he did, but he used it to glorify the Lord. And I'm going to spend as little as time as is needed or required just to give you a little background on the life that I did live. And hopefully most of the time will be spent on what God's still doing. And hopefully Christ will be exalted in this word of testimony tonight. This text has been, I often read different texts, but this one has been very, very real to me of late in the past couple of weeks. And it's the verse 20 where Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What glorious words Paul wrote there. And thank God I can say them with my heart and soul and my conscience before God, that they're true to me too. I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. Neither of my parents knew the Lord. Didn't have the blessings that many people maybe have today, even in this house. Many of you young people with Christian parents. I thank God though I had godly grandparents who loved the Lord and prayed not only for my soul but for all their family. For as they reared 8 children, only one of them got saved and went on with the Lord, and has been going on with the Lord to this very day in the person of my aunt Shirley Heron. But my grandparents were faithful in the place of prayer, and God began to move in our family. On about 3 or 4 years ago, my sister got saved when she was 12. After going out to church with my aunt, who was preparing to get married. She too, after she got married, she got saved, got right with God. She had professed faith in Christ as a young child, but had gone far away from God, but got right with the Lord, I think about 4 years ago. And then, on the last week of October 2001, out of nowhere it seemed, another uncle, my Uncle Glenn, he got saved. He, I think, testified here a good while ago. The following week, my Aunt Shirley was testifying in Ballymoney, and my mum felt that she had to go. And she went out that night, and God spoke to her heart powerfully. And she never got any peace with God until the following morning when she woke up still crying. And she found the Saviour, and my sister, who was not walking right at that time, pointed her to the Lord. And that's how God broke in our family. I was reared up for most of my life without the influence of God upon my life. I went to Sunday school for a short time until I was about 7 or 8. And then decided I no longer wanted to go, probably through the separation of my mum and dad and the things that were going on at home. I no longer attended the house of God. As I attended school and went on into secondary school, I became blinded and indoctrinated into the things of evolution. Started to believe that there was no God. Eventually did believe that there was no God. Started studying the foolish things they teach today in the schools about how all things came to be out of nothing, out of chance, the Big Bang and so on and so forth. If any of you are here tonight and you believe that, if you want to speak to me about it afterwards, I'll gladly show you that the folly of it all. Because since I've been saved, I've studied it and sought that by the help of God I will make people realize the lies that's out there and show them the falsehood of even that way of believing. As on through teenage years, you know the story. No influence of God, therefore you go out into the world, don't you? I tried to satisfy my life with the things of the world. Oh, I wasn't a gross sinner. I tried drink but found no pleasure in it, so thought it was a waste of money, so never bothered too often. I thought smoking was a waste of money and destroying your body like that. Watching my parents for many years smoking and destroying their lungs and whatnot. Thought it was foolish. But with the influence of my friends and a couple of relatives, I started going out to the clubs and so on and so forth, and it became my life to go to the dance, to go to Portrush and go to those dens of iniquity and try to find enjoyment there. And I lived for a Saturday night. As I went on and kept going on, I thought that there was nothing like a Saturday night, going out and meeting your friends and listening to the devil's music and dancing to it. And I thought I was happy. I thought I had everything. I was seeking through education to get a good job in computer networking. I had a partner who I loved, and I was going out with her at the time when God saved my mum. And through the influence of my mum, she started asking me out to church. I never had been in church for 11 years. My Uncle Glenn was giving his testimony on the January of 2002, and I felt I had to go out. There was no excuses. I felt I should go because it was my uncle, so I went that night. And I don't remember much of the testimony. A few things, but I remember what the preacher, Mr. Park, was preaching on. The subject was eternity where? And his question to every unbeliever was, where will you spend, or where will you be in eternity? And I left that meeting with the question ringing on in my heart, where will I be in eternity? Oh, I believed that there was no God. I didn't believe there was a hell. I didn't believe there was a heaven. But there was something in there saying, what if they're right? What if my mum is right? What if my grandparents and other relatives who are saved are right? Then I'll be lost. But I, like many people, got up without the Lord and went on with life. And my mum kept pressing upon me to come out to church every family night. And I went out a few times until May, and God had started to work in my life, though I didn't know it. My mum and sister caught me singing hymns and stuff that they were playing on the CD. They caught me saying things that I would never have said before. I wasn't aware that God was working, but He was. And I went to family night again and never thought much of it. And then the following week, it was the 12th of May 2002, and I went to the house of the Lord again. I didn't plan to. Two young people came to my house in the afternoon. My mum had asked me, and I said, no, I'm not going out. I was out last week. But these two young men, zealous for the Lord at the time, they tried to get me to come out, and I eventually gave in, and I went out and sat under the preaching of the Word, just as normal. Left the meeting, and as I was leaving, Uncle Glenn said to me, how about coming to the Korean Youth Rally? Without even thinking about it, I thought, all right, okay, I'll go. I came here that night, sat about there, and listened as Brother Joe Peden preached the Word of God and sang. And that night he preached on the rich young ruler. And he taught about how this young man, probably in the eyes of his friends, was a good young man. And if anyone deserved to get to heaven, it would be him. He sought to live a godly life. He sought to keep the commandments. He sought to be upright and charitable and all the rest. But he wasn't willing to get right with God. He wasn't willing to sacrifice what was necessary in order to have peace with God. And therefore he went away sorrowful. And I remember sitting there thinking, I know my friends, they think that I don't take the drugs like they do, and I don't drink the way they do, and I don't smoke the way they do. And they think I'm not so bad. And what if I'm that young man? I go away sorrowful. And it stuck with me. And the two young men after the meeting, they talked with me and about the things of God. We sat here, I think, till about 12 o'clock. Our brother Trevor chased us out by turning off the lights. But they were scared. The young people were scared that if I wouldn't make a decision for Christ there and then, that something could happen, even on the road on the way home. But we got into the car, and the whole way home, young brother Jason opened up the scriptures to me in the back of that car and showed me my need. I didn't know. Many of you are here. You've been brought up in Sunday school. You know the things of God. You've come to the house of God umpteen times, and you know you're a sinner. You know that Christ came to save sinners. You know the only way of getting to heaven is through Him and by having your sins cleansed away in His precious blood. You know all that. I didn't. I wasn't aware of it. And he went through the Word of God and showed me how in Romans it says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Showed me how that sin had come into the world through Adam and it passed upon all men. Showed me there was a hell and how Christ preached in hell over and over again. And showed me there was a heaven. And as we sat outside my house, going on into the early hours of the 13th of May, the Spirit of God started to impress upon me my need to get right with God there and then. There was no other opportunity that might be given to me. I started thinking about my friends. Started thinking about my girlfriend. She was brought up in Jehovah's Witness background, and we had talked about it briefly before, and she thought that those who got saved were all loony bins. My friends, I knew most of them, had no inkling about the things of God or no desire to be right with God. And I was warned. I was weighing up the cost, giving up my friends, giving up the sin, giving up the clubbing and all the rest of it to have peace with God. And just as I was weighing that up in my mind, the young man, he said to me, "You know, Armin, your friends will laugh you into hell, but they'll never laugh you out." And I broke with tears in my eyes. I started to try and put it off, tried to laugh, tried to pass it off, put it off to some other time, but I can't go into it now. But he started showing me that you know not what's round the corner, Armin. He told me that, Armin, you don't know what is round the corner for you. You don't know what tomorrow holds. The Bible says, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. And I thank God that I didn't spurn his offer of mercy that night. But there, as they prayed and asked God to open my eyes, I don't even know what I prayed, but with tears streaming my face, sitting in the back of that wee Nova, I just opened my heart to Christ and asked him to save my soul. And glory to God, he did it. And things have never been the same since then. Oh, God has changed my life in ways I can never believe. He's put a joy in my heart that no man, no devil can take away. It hasn't been easy. It hasn't been all the mountaintop. Right? Some Christians come and tell you, oh, that if you come and get right with God, all your problems will disappear. Rubbish. Christ said, in this world you shall have tribulation. But thank God he shall never leave us nor forsake us, and we don't go through it on our own. And I prayed for my girlfriend. We sought God that he would open her eyes. And she promised to come out. She cried at the thought of, you know, me being saved. And I was willing, I must be honest, I was willing to give her up just to be right with God. You can't have fellowship with light and darkness. You can't have an unequal yoke. And I was willing to give her up. But I prayed for her, and she was willing to come out to the house of God. She came out the following Sunday, heard the word of God. Come out the next Sunday. And before she came out, I remember saying to Mum, I know Melanie's going to get saved tonight. And she says, oh, Armin, it takes time. You know, like, maybe it'll take a bit of time. She might not get saved tonight, but yeah, she will get saved. And I said, no, Mum, tonight Melanie's going to get saved. And I went to the church, sat under the preaching of the word. The minister that night was preaching on hell. And she had never heard hell preached on before. And the Spirit of God came upon her and showed her that hell was a real place. That there was a lake of fire for those who die without Christ. And she, as that meeting went on, the tears started streaming down her face. We had the pleasure and the joy of going in and taking her into the back of the church and with the Reverend Park, pointing her to the Lord. I can't speak. My tongue can never tell what God has done since then. He gave us both a desire to walk with him, to give up the old life. It wasn't a chore to give up the worldly dress. It wasn't a chore to give up the worldly music. Maybe it took a week or two, I think. But we realized it was wrong, so we gave it up. It wasn't a chore to forsake the things of the world, all the things that the children of the devil do. It wasn't a chore. We realized what Christ had done for us. We realized we could never repay him. And all we could do was give him our all. And by the grace of God, that's what we've been seeking to do. Started on the doors, I think it was 6 weeks saved, going around the doors by the help of God. I didn't know anything, but I knew God gave me a word. He says that he will never leave me. He said he will give me the wisdom I need. He told me as I go and witness to people, he'll help me, and he has done that. It's been 2.5 years now, and God has helped me to go on and abound in the work of God. Yeah. And I've never regretted it once. Oh, the devil's attacked. Yeah. I think about this time last year, the wild attack of the devil, coming and trying and telling me that I'm wasting my life. But it didn't last long, because the Spirit of God came and told me it's all worth it. And I'm seeking now just to live to His glory. I can truly say that my head is on the altar for God. Amen. If it would so be that God would glorify His name and take my life this very moment, then so be it. If it was glorify His name to put me in jail or to do anything, then so be it. Nothing in my life is held back from God. That's the point He's brought me to. And I am at the minute. Paul said one time that he was in a strait betwixt whether to depart to be with Christ, which is far better, or whether to stay and minister the word. And I am in such a confusion. I'm seeking to study, hoping to go on to into the college, but I don't know what to do about those lost souls out there either. I have a burden in my heart to reach the lost. It won't go away. I go out seeking to go there to Kelly's and to go on in the open airs and preach with our brother Albert Macaulay every Saturday, to go out on and give tracts that souls might hear the message of salvation. And I'm finding hard for time to study, because I've such a burning desire to reach the lost and a burning desire to see revival in this land. I would just call you young men that you know the Lord, don't hold back. Young woman, don't hold back from the Lord. Give Him your all. Give Him every ounce of your body, every ounce of your strength. Put everything on the altar for God, that He might crown that sacrifice with the power of the Holy Ghost in your life, that you might live for Him. Yeah. Older person, I can't say very much to you. You know you need to be saved. Tonight's the night. How do you know that your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight? Just plead with you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that God would save your soul.